Before I begin, I want to name that I'm going to be talking a fair amount about death and mortality. If this brings up hard feelings for you and you need support, I encourage you to reach out to me or Reverend Alice, and we will help you get the support you need. Back in 2007, I started a mommy blog. If you're not familiar with the term, they were all the rage for a certain subset of American mothers in the early 2000s. We wrote online journal entries about motherhood and connected through the magic of the internet. When I started my blog, I named it Clueless But Hopeful Mama. This name felt like it captured essential elements of me. I really felt like I had no idea what I was doing, the clueless part, and I really, really wanted to lead with hope rather than fear, the hopeful part. I chose two quotes for the tagline of my blog, one from Swiss psychotherapist Carl Jung: thoroughly unprepared, we take the step into the afternoon of life. Clueless. And then this quote from Maya Angelou: hope and fear cannot occupy the same space at the same time. Invite one to stay. Hopeful. I thought about that quote when I heard that the theme for the lay-led services this summer was hope. I also then thought about a popular cartoon from The New Yorker. Maybe you've seen it. Two people are walking down the street and one says to the other, my desire to be well-informed is currently at odds with my desire to remain sane. I think about that cartoon a lot lately. Sometimes it feels like my desire to be well-informed is also at odds with my desire to have hope. But then I remember that hope is an inside job. It's not something I can wait to have bestowed upon me, and it doesn't happen in a vacuum. I need to look for hope, choose people and experiences that encourage hope, and work to nurture hope. It's a lot like love that way. Love isn't something that falls into my lap and just stays forever. It's a verb. It's in the choices I make every moment of every day. And sometimes, like love, hope can come in unexpected ways, like the Date with Death Club. So what is the Date with Death Club? Some of you know, because some of you were in our sessions. Nice to see you all. For those who haven't heard of it or did not attend a session, it's a thoughtful, thorough, educational, and entertaining curriculum that was created by the Reverend Karen G. Johnston. She's a UU minister and social worker. As Reverend Johnston puts it, we all are already members of the Date with Death Club. That's the nature of being human. We all have a date with death. These sessions give us an opportunity to learn, share, and deepen our own understanding of what death means to us and how we want to approach death, particularly our own. There are 14 sessions total in this curriculum, and this winter and spring, we worked through 8 of them here at UUCL in evening sessions that were facilitated by me and Reverend Alice. We covered a lot of territory together, and yes, we ate a lot of cookies. We covered aging to grief, green burials to threshold choirs. And if those are things you don't know what they are, come to Date with Death Club. Every Date with Death Club session can stand on its own, but taken together, they have a grace and power to them that accumulates with each session. For Reverend Johnston, befriending death is an essential spiritual practice. She works to bring it closer, to shine a light into what we fear. Because in the US, let's face it, we often compartmentalize and push away things we find uncomfortable, like death. UU minister and theologian Forrest Church described religion as our human response to the dual reality of being alive and having to die. One of the hardest spiritual tasks is surely to make peace with the reality of mortality. And one way to start is to be willing to embrace death as a topic for discussion, to educate ourselves about our options, discern our wishes, and make some plans to make our eventual death a little easier and more meaningful for us and those who love us. What makes Date with Death Club special is that it isn't just an educational class about death. You could get information online if you needed it. Date with Death Club is a carefully constructed group experience that acknowledges our humanity, centers the margins, and encourages deep listening and self-awareness. Date with Death Club is grounded in the work and wisdom of author and activist Parker J. Palmer. Meetings start with a group agreement, including this essential piece from Palmer: no fixing, no saving, no advising, no correcting each other. In Date with Death Club, just like in UUCL and all of Unitarian Universalism, how we are together really matters. How we tackle our deepest questions and feelings about death matters. We're also asked as Date with Death Club attendees to practice preemptive radical inclusion. It's a concept and practice created by educator C.B. Beale. Preemptive radical inclusion means that before we know anything about anyone in the room, we presuppose that all possible identities, perspectives, and needs are already and always present. At the end of each session, as a group, we imagine who isn't present and how things might be different if they were there. What perspectives are we lacking? Reverend Johnston uses what Palmer calls third things in Date with Death Club. Third things are poetry, art, literature, music. Basically, they're ways for us to engage with ideas that may be complex or emotionally difficult, but to go at them slant, as she says. Rather than diving in head on and possibly getting uncomfortable and defensive, shutting down, we get into a conversation with the third thing. We engage with the topic through a poem, a song, a story. In Date with Death Club, this technique provides an avenue for us to enter into an exploration of death and mortality with curiosity and openness, and sometimes even play. All of these aspects make the Date with Death Club a powerful tool for connection and deep discernment, as well as practical learning. And perhaps the best part of Date with Death Club. When I left each of these sessions, where we talked about some of the hardest and saddest aspects of being human, I felt surprisingly full of life and full of hope. I felt connected to each person in the room, to my deepest and best self, and to how I want to live. Confronting my own mortality encourages me to be present. Thinking about my own eventual death motivates me to think carefully about how I want to spend my time here now. We all must reckon with the fact that we and those we love will die someday. And many of us know from our experiences of losing people we love that we can help make that experience easier for our loved ones with a little planning. From writing out our wishes for our own memorial, to making plans for our body, to making note of where our money and our stuff should go when we're gone, we can do a lot to lessen the load on our loved ones by being willing to engage about these issues before we absolutely have to. Because sometimes when we absolutely have to, it may be too late to do it well or to do it at all. Funnily enough, death is what brought me to UUCL. I was raised UU, as many of you know, and I always considered myself a UU to some degree, but I hadn't regularly attended a UU church as an adult. Then, after we moved here to Leesburg and we lost my father-in-law suddenly, Zoe, our oldest, who was 5 at the time, was filled with many questions about death and dying. She would ask me, say in the line at Target, apropos of nothing, "Mom, when people are buried underground, are their eyes open or closed? Do they have pillows in there? Blankets? Stuffies?" Not quite what I want to discuss in the line at Target with an audience of other shoppers who are all looking at me for the answer. Thank you so much. So we bought her every kid's book about death that wasn't advancing a specific religious viewpoint, and we read them together daily. It was after Zoe was told by a kindergarten classmate that if she didn't believe in God, she was going to hell, that we started to realize that reading books wasn't enough. We needed community, and I knew where to go. I knew that a UU church would be a safe place she could ask questions about death and dying and everything else. Some of you saw Zoe in her bridging ceremony a few weeks ago. She just graduated from high school. Because of our need for support when wrestling with grief and death, we entered into this community, and for all your support of our children over the years, we want to say thank you. Can I handle the seasons of my life? That lyric is from Landslide, of course, which I asked my daughters to play for us today. Thank you, girls. How can we handle the seasons of our lives? How can we handle our own mortality? How can Unitarian Universalism offer solace when we don't give clear, dogmatic answers here? Reckoning with our own mortality is in our religious DNA. Universalism, one half of our faith's lineage, is the belief that everyone will receive salvation after death, that no one is doomed to eternal punishment. This was a radical thought, And it is still radical, as many Christian churches base their faith on the need to behave a certain way and to believe a particular thing in order to be saved and go to heaven. For humans who crave safety and surety, fear of damnation can be a powerful motivator to choose a dogmatic religion. If Unitarian Universalism doesn't offer singular answers to questions about death, I contend that what it does offer is much more durable and powerful. It promises us a respectful, informative, loving community in which to explore what matters most to us. It offers a commitment to justice and equality, exploration and curiosity, music and ritual. It offers ideas and concepts from all areas of humanity, including history, science, philosophy, literature, poetry, and yes, religions. It offers, above all, a loving community in which to practice being human and ultimately to accept being mortal. Every time we gather together in common purpose with our focus on how we covenant to be together, we create a wellspring of hope. Every time we meet together in a Date with Death Club, we nurture hope in ourselves and in each other. No matter how clueless we might feel, and I still feel clueless much of the time, hope is a choice that we can make again and again. As Forrest Church wrote, hope is woven into the lifelines that connect us. UUCL is just such a lifeline, one that each of us has the opportunity to continue to nurture. And Date with Death Club is another such lifeline. I can't resist a little plug here. We'll be starting up Date with Death Club again in the fall. The sessions we have left to cover are Afterlife and Afterlives, Dying, Death, and Poetry, Facing Extinction, Processing Eco-Grief, Hospice, Palliative Care, and End-of-Life Documents, Oh My, Planning Your Own Memorial Service, and Writing Your Own Obituary, 6 sessions. I hope that if I've sparked your interest at all, you'll join us. The curriculum is informative, and somehow thinking and talking about death may just give you hope. Okay, so Date with Death Club also likes to hold things somewhat lightly. So it always ends with a groaner of a joke. So this is part of the thoughtful construction of Date with Death Club, because humor can be healing and can help manage discomfort. So I'm gonna end with a joke. Two people are sitting on a bus. I like to imagine them as the same two people who are walking down the street in that New Yorker cartoon. They're sitting on the bus. One person's reading statistics about life and death. And they turn to the other person and they say, did you know that every time I breathe, someone dies? And the other person turns to them and says, have you tried mouthwash?